Welcome to The Upside with Callie and Jeff. It's Friday.
There is a very unique feeling, a unique emotion. And it, I think probably the clearest way to explain it is when you work up the courage to make a move on someone, to go all in, to not just flirt and smile from across the restaurant, but to actually walk up to somebody and say, I would like your phone number, mm-hmm. right? And then getting rejected and then getting shut down.
Oof.
It's a sadness. It's an anger. It's a humiliation. It's just a ball of a lot of emotion.
Mm-hmm.
I think that happened to me yesterday because I think I got rejected by an auto mechanic.
Oh my gosh.
I took the other
which
day.
Which is weird because I've never known an auto mechanic to turn money down.
Well, here's what I think happened. I took my car in to, I noticed that underneath my car twice, a couple days apart, was some coolant had leaked out.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed it in a parking lot and then I noticed it in the driveway. And the car's not running hot. It's not making any weird noises or whatever, but that's a problem, right?
Yeah.
Coolant leaking out. And also, so that's one. And also, my brakes have been squeaky squeakerson.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been recently replaced. So I wasn't too worried about that, but it is embarrassing.
Right.
You know, you're in carpool line, you pull up to pick up your kid, and it's, you know, right? So I went, and this is the mechanic that fixed the brakes, the same thing. I take the car in, and I say to the guy, hey, I noticed some coolant under the car. And he says, okay. And I go, also, you guys did the brakes a month or two ago, a couple months. It was like three months ago. You guys fixed the brakes, and they're squeaking. And I know sometimes new brakes squeak, but this seems like it's going on too long. Can you look at that? He goes, no problem. That's it. 8 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
8:30 in the morning. I don't hear from them all day, all morning. And finally, at about 1 o'clock, I call. And the guy says, and it was just a weird, the mechanic has an app where you can, it's a chain, and you can look up the status of your car.
Yeah.
Nothing had changed. Like, it hadn't been assigned a technician. It hadn't been, you know, the invoice or whatever, the estimate hadn't been updated.
Right.
There's no data. So pick up the phone and call and just say, hey, what's up? He goes, oh, yeah, so glad you called. So we found the leak, and it's this part, and it's here's where it is, and we can't find the part. You might have to take it back to the dealer. And I go, okay. And he said, I mean, I'll keep looking for it, but I haven't. It was a weird, I feel as though it should have been either we know where the part is or we don't.
Right.
But it just felt weird. Then I said, well, what about the brakes? He was like, oh, yeah, there's nothing wrong with them. And I said, well, there is something. He said, well, we took it for a drive, didn't hear anything. And I didn't even think to ask, well, did you take the tires off?
Yeah.
Like, none of that. I just said, something's wrong.
Yeah.
And he was just so nonchalant or whatever about right. that. So I said, well, what are you telling me? So should I come pick up the car, or are you going to keep looking for that part? And he's like, why don't you come pick it up and I'll keep looking for it, and if I find it, I'll call you back. So I go pick it up, and I know this garage, this mechanic charges like $99 to do a check,
yeah,
or something like that. He didn't even, I walked in and said, hey, I'm picking up the Pathfinder. He goes, here you go, and just handed me the key. He didn't put it in the computer. He never updated the app. Nothing happened.
Right.
And I noticed as I was leaving that there were about 4 people working, and there were about 15 cars in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And so part of me wonders if they just were overwhelmed and they were prioritizing based on money.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, in good news, that means maybe your repair is not going to cost that much, whatever it is.
Or
one can help.
Or it's going to be a tremendous pain in the booty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be really expensive, and he won't
I choose optimism.
Right. But it was going to be expensive, but it was also going to be a full day. Because he said, hey, it's kind of a hard to reach part, and it's a thing and whatever. And I don't know. I just don't believe that to be true.
Yeah.
So now, I think mechanics might be, I think finding a new mechanic might be my least favorite thing. Because I know nothing. It's so easy to rip people
Jeff
off.
And I had a great guy for a while.
We had two great guys. They both retired.
I know. And they but one sold his shop, which was like Jeff's dude. And he was like a listener of Jeff on the radio. So he just, you felt like a king when you walked in there.
Well,
he was so nice. He would always ask about your life. You never felt like you were getting ripped off. Like it was always just a cool, you know, he was so nice to me and whatever. So that guy sold his shop. And then the next owner just drove it into, I mean, nothing about the experience was even close to the same.
Yeah.
And then we've talked about the guy before, the guy Ray at Pep Boys, and we really liked him. And then he's gone. Did you ask where he went?
He just retired. Oh. He told us when we were talking to him, he was like, yeah, I'm getting ready to retire. But this is the guy who wanted to, I said, hey, something's wrong with my air conditioner or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he says, let's go take a look. And he's leaning over, like practically climbing into the engine of my car with a lit cigarette dangling out of
instant
his mouth.
Credibility.
And I'm thinking to myself, this right here, if we don't blow to smithereens, this right here is a guy who knows what he's doing.
Right.
You know what I mean? He lives on the edge. He brings a little danger into the auto repair world.
Or he's just so seasoned and knows exactly what he's doing right. That there's like a level of confidence.
Like he puts the cigarette out in the gas tank. He's like, that's no problem.
Right.
So anyways, so now, yeah. So whatever. It is what it is. My other thought, my darker thought is because they did do the brakes before, like what if they looked at it and they said, oh man.
Yeah, I don't
think Jimmy really screwed these up.
I don't think it's that deep.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that
deep. You're right.
All right. Friday, 1 to 10. How you doing this week?
I think I'm pretty good. I don't know. 8. Yeah. I mean, nothing notable to report in the good or bad department. Mm-hmm. It was the weather at the beginning of the week was crappy, but by the end of the week, Ellie and I got some good playground time. Olivia is smiling so much now. And the best thing is that she smiles at Ellie.
Yeah, she loves her. She is so attentive to Ellie.
I mean, Ellie comes in the room and Olivia will, I want to say whip her head around, but she's 2 months old.
Right.
You know, so she'll turn her head.
She's like, hey, I knew her.
Yeah. But she'll do that. And she's the only person she does that to. Like,
right.
Callie or I walk in the room. She's like, you got milk with you?
Yeah.
You got a bottle? No? Okay. But Ellie walks in. So I think that's really cool. And I had a productive week at work. Callie gave me a to-do list. And I really love to-do lists because I love to highlight the line and then use that strike through font.
Yeah.
Thing to just show it checked off, so that felt good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think after the chaos of Olivia's early arrival, and then me having that 4-night hospital vacation, I feel back on track.
Yeah.
Like I'm able to respond to people within 24 hours, like emails and stuff. Yeah. So that feels good. How about you?
I'm a 7. I'm just like even. Like there's nothing, not a great week, not a bad week. I'm so tired this week. We switched around stuff with Olivia's sleep schedule a little bit, and I've been going to bed a little bit too late, and I just, man.
Do you think you're doing that revenge procrastination? Have you heard about this? It's called revenge bedtime. I think it's called revenge bedtime procrastination.
Mm-hmm.
And it is when busy people,
mm-hmm.
many times their parents, know that they need to be in bed by a certain time, but because that is the only time of day
that they're completely alone.
That they are completely alone and can do whatever they want. They procrastinate going to bed.
Yeah.
Even though the logic parts of their brain.
That's totally it.
Okay.
It's totally it.
Because for three nights in a row, you said, well, I'm going to go to bed right after Ellie does tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to put Olivia down at 8:30, be in bed by 9. And then I've woken up at midnight and looked and you're not there.
Yeah. Well, that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but yeah.
I've woken up at 11:55 p.m. and you're not there.
That is not true, but I have been really bad about it. But it really is the only time because, like, I know I'm not getting, you know, emails from, you know, emails in my inbox at that time. I know I'm not, you know, so it just is like my quiet time of the day. And I enjoy that alone time. Just me, yeah. The dogs. There's no kid that's about to wake up from a nap. There's no, you know, no emails coming in. It's good.
A couple nights ago, it was Wednesday. So on Wednesdays, Ellie gets picked up from school by Callie's parents, and then she stays, because they live literally across the street. It's the greatest thing on the planet.
From Ellie's school.
From Ellie's school. So they go pick her up, and she gets to hang out with KK and Poppy. Then they make her dinner. We pick her up after dinner, which is, in theory, allows us to hopefully get work done related to the business while Olivia's sleeping, but Callie's still tired. So Olivia's naps are usually spent cleaning the house or resting or whatever. It's just chaos. Mm-hmm. It's toddler newborn chaos. And I called Callie on Wednesday and said, hey, what, what time do you want me home for dinner? And Ellie's not at the house. So it's just Olivia. It sounds like it sounded like a New Orleans style parade was going on in the background. Drums, cymbals, screaming, clattering, mm-hmm. dogs barking. Mm-hmm. Who knows what they were barking at? I could even hear some of the construction equipment from across the street where they're leveling out this lot.
Yeah.
I could hear that. And Callie says, well, why don't you come home? We'll eat at 5. I'm going to start cooking at 4:30, which the recipe says 25 minutes. Two things. One, recipe times aren't real.
Well, here's what happened.
Two, recipe times aren't real. Two, so you always have to double the recipe times. And then you, Callie, you have to double it because you're a slow cooker.
I'm a slow cooker. But here's what happened. So I, at like 3:50 for a 5 to 5:15 meal, I started getting my stuff out. I started getting things ready, whatever. Olivia was napping. She starts screaming bloody murder, like would not stop. And she wasn't putting herself back to sleep. So I went and got her. So I was like, okay, she can just cook with me. She'll sit here with me while she cooks or while I cook. And then, so I put her like in a little bounce thing near me and it was fine for a minute. Then she starts screaming. So I'm like, okay, I'll wear her. So I wear her and she's fine for a couple of minutes and I'm like chopping like the raw chicken, like because I was making a chicken dish and yeah. I have everything set out on the counter. I'm chopping the chicken and I'm looking at the chicken going, this looks disgusting. Like I had an aversion to raw meat both pregnancies, and I'm not pregnant obviously, but the aversion is still so real. And I was cutting the chicken thinking there's no way that I can chew this up and swallow it when it's cooked because that's how grossed out I am. And so I'm cutting things and then Olivia starts crying. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm talking to you and I'm telling you to come, you know, come home what time for dinner. And then I look at the clock. It's 4:30. I'm still trying to get the gross parts out of the chicken. And I was like, you know what? Screw it. And I put the chicken in a plastic bag. I'm like, you can eat it if you want it. Oh, and then I went for the pepper grinder, yeah. And there was no pepper in our house. And I'm like, you know what? I'm done. Like,
there's literally no pepper in our house, which is the equivalent of McDonald's running out of ketchup or Taco Bell running out of sauce
or
packets.
Salt.
Right.
Like, who runs out of pepper or salt? So it was just chaos. I'm like looking at the clock. It's ticking down. I'm trying to, you know, cook, but like my head's not in the game. Olivia's crying. I'm trying to do it on a timeline because I know we have to pick up Ellie. So I was like, to hell with it. And
that's not how I remember it. I remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember hearing the chaos and saying to you, you know what? Why don't you just stop cooking and I will come home and pick up a pizza? And then that evolved into, actually, why don't I come home and pick...
Well, I was still debating it in my head and I wasn't listening to what you were saying. But you mentioned the pizza thing and I was like, can you just get home? And I think I like hung up on you, not in a mean way, but I was just like, I got to go. Like, I don't have time to talk this through with you. So you're on your way home and then texted me about a pizza. And then halfway when you were, you know, headed home, I'm like, screw this.
Well, I called your mom because then I had the idea, why don't I just go pick up you and Olivia?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just go to your parents' house. We'll pick up a pizza on the way.
Yeah.
And eat it over there. And then I called your mom to say, hey, do you want me to get a pizza big enough for everybody? She says, yes.
Yeah.
So that was the plan. So I think that to me was a good husband dad moment. I was proud of
it
myself.
It was. Because I was like, I can't even answer questions right now. I don't know what I need, but I am just drowning right now.
Now, as an exclamation point on all of that chaos, as we're walking out the door, after the pizza's been ordered, one of the people who's helping us with our mortgage for our new house calls, hopefully the house that we're living in now, calls Callie and says, hey, you know those 20 pages of bank statements that you were able to provide regarding this? They need them in a slightly different format.
And I was like, oh my God. And the dogs were outside barking at our neighbors and like the construction's going on. And I'm just like, okay.
I'm not making dinner.
I'm just not doing it. Okay. So wins for the week, three wins for the week. You want me to go first?
I'm going to say pizza night is a win for me.
Okay.
No, I'll go first. Pizza night was a win for me.
Mm-hmm.
Two meetings with new clients that went really, really well that I'm excited about.
Mm-hmm.
That was a win. And Ellie, I can't remember. I think it was this week. I took Ellie to a brand new playground,
mm-hmm.
which I never thought I would be a playground connoisseur, but I am. That's what I do now. And I took Ellie to a new playground, and they had a slide that was so steep and so high, and she was absolutely fearless about it,
mm-hmm.
and was climbing up the tube to get to the top of the thing. I couldn't believe she did it. I was so proud of her, one, for being brave, and two, for being strong, and three, for just, I mean, she was having a blast.
Yeah.
So those are my three wins. What are yours?
Okay. My three wins are, one, we got our house appraised that we're trying to buy this week, and the appraisal came back great, higher than we thought it would be. And they have these things. I didn't know what this was until recently, but like comps, which basically says, or I knew what they were, but I didn't know why they were relevant. So basically like the appraiser comes to your house and they say, this is how much we think the house is worth. And also here's information about the neighborhood and the info they give you about the neighborhood, to the mortgage person, basically saying like, yes, this is a good person to lend to because the neighborhood's up and coming and this and that. It's more detailed than I thought it would be. The houses around us all more expensive, which is great.
Yeah.
So that was really promising. And it also has these little boxes that says,
how the home values are trending.
Yeah. How they're trending. It's like improving, you know, not improving, whatever. And they're trending up. So that was really cool. I spent hours and hours this week working on our personal budget, and budgeting has never been a detailed thing for us. We're kind of just like, okay, this is how much we have to spend, and we don't really like itemize things down. But I itemized everything down and then made like a dream budget of what, like, if I could have not any budget, but any budget within reason, like a comfortable budget, what would it look like? So I made those two budgets this week, and I was proud of myself for that.
Life hack, if you work for yourself or you're a freelancer, the way Callie did this first round of the budget is she said, this is the house that we want to live in. These are the vacations we want to go on. This is how much we want to put in, you know, savings accounts for the girls. This is how many times a month we would like to go out to eat, whatever, mm-hmm. like this ideal, you know, dreamovision, mm-hmm. whatever, perfect. If everything was perfect, mm-hmm. this is what it would cost. And then we came up with that number. And next week, we're going to
figure out how to chase it.
We're going to incorporate that number into our business to find out exactly how much business we have to do. So we're doing it backwards.
Yeah.
Rather than saying this is how much we're going to make, let's cram our life into this. We're saying this is the life we want to lead. How do we get there?
Right.
Now, might take a year, a two or three. Right. So we'll have to make changes until then, but it's just a
it's like an emotional vision board.
Yeah.
And then number three, we got what is actually going to be our interest rate. All of this is very fascinating to me because it's so new to me. I'm a first-time home buyer. Jeff is more seasoned, but I've been primarily, you know, like the one answering the emails and doing the paperwork and all of that kind of stuff while Jeff keeps the business running. We're dividing and conquering. And our interest rate came in lower than we thought it was going to be. And it's not a good interest rate by any means, but it's, you know,
it's not a bad interest rate.
It's not terrible, but it's also, I mean, it's not stellar, but it came, we were able to like figure out a way to get it a little bit lower than we thought. So it was nice because the first report we got, some of the numbers were high. And then they sent us a second report of like, hey, here's the estimate for everything. And that those numbers were lower. And I was like, oh, that's kind of nice.
Do you think they did my trick?
Where they said, tell us it's going to be really, really high. And then when it's not, you're like, great.
Yeah. Let's throw in a bunch of fees and tell them it'll be 12%. We're like, oh, you know, to kind of brace us. And then they could come back with something. With 10%, we think it's great.
Yeah, we're like, woo. So anyways, no,
I just want to clear this up because I have just one annoying person on my Instagram who wants to know why the mortgage stuff is such a big deal. Because we have to tackle it a different way because of the fact that we both work for ourselves and we made a mistake. We didn't make a mistake. The timing of neither one of us having full-time employment. The fact that Callie quit her job in the middle of the period of time that they were going to look at for our financial stability made it more of a challenge.
Right, because they're looking at, they look at 2 years of tax returns. Well, my last two tax returns have that I was working at Warner Media. Now I'm not. At all. It's so, only relying on our income. So we found this amazing mortgage guy that has been helping, that helps also like small business owners figure out how to qualify for mortgages because yeah, it's just a weird, complicated situation. Someone's in your Instagram mad about it.
Well, they don't understand why we talk about getting a mortgage like it's this huge endeavor, and I would like to say it has been a huge endeavor, and Callie has done 85 or more percent of the work. And so I'm very proud of you, and I am very appreciative of you taking that on because I know that that is not in your comfort level.
Yeah, I'm also, it's a big deal because...
But you're so good at it.
It's complicated because it's not a conventional loan. Like we're doing things unconventionally, number one. And number two is that I'm a first-time home buyer. So all of this language is brand new to me. And since I'm the one navigating it, there's lots of questions. Like I'm just learning. I have learned so much in the past month of things that I had no clue about. And I don't think you do unless you've been through the process before. So it's almost like saying, you know, like, well, why is it so hard for you to podcast? Well, it's not for us because we know what we're doing. But if you've never done it before, it's like overwhelming. There's a lot of choices. There's a lot of foreign language and you're just trying to sort through it all. So it is a really big deal and it's a monumental deal in my life. Jeff has done this a couple times. I have not. And I'm really proud of myself for diving in and learning the language and not just relying on you to get it done for me. So,
well, and I wouldn't do as good of a job. And the reason that I always say when you take on the financial stuff, whether it's setting up our business or establishing all that, which you hate, You hate it less now than you did a couple years ago.
Right.
But I kept saying, you're better at this than me because one, you're a rule follower.
Mm-hmm.
So you figure out what the parameters are and then you make everything work within those parameters. Mm-hmm. That's number one. And number two, you're thorough. So if somebody tells you before we're about to go eat pizza, hey, you got to print all these out in a slightly different format.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I would, in my head, I would say, you know what? I'm going to do it tomorrow. They have the information just because it's a, you know, not in a color PDF, right? Yeah. Where you're saying, no, this needs to be done. And there are people waiting on it. And you sit down, you do it. It only takes 10 minutes. I just think I think we make a really good team. That's going to be another win.
That we're a good team.
Yeah.
Also, I will say, like, pat on the back, because, you know, I'm like a golden retriever and I love being friendly with people and I love also like compliments and stuff like that. I was told by the mortgage company that I'm a very fast turnaround client. Like I get things to them faster than most people do. And I was like, oh, pat on the back for me.